Please join me in saying the Abakoach.
Back of me.
On the Bakoach. Gedulat Shemincha. Lach Yachmin in Allah bet Gilui.
Rutsu.
Abel Rinat. Amcha Sagvenu. Tahareinu.
Agneinu.
Kufrei Shayan Sintetnum. Na Gibor. Dor Sheyechudcha. Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sidkatcha
Amen.
Betet Resh Tzav Kaf Kimel. The letter Kaf that created the planet we call the sun, which is Shemesh, Chatan, or Chotem, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, connection to the 72 names of God, and also the month of Av. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Chetuvim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zog Re'elushata Bet Kuf Bet Tet Menayim Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zog Re'elushatas Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavateinu Kabel Ushma Tziakateinu
Yo
Ta'alumot Shin Kufav. In the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. So we're reading section 4 from Vayet Hanan. You have begun to show is the title. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yedeinu Kunamei Aleinu Maaseh Yedeinu Kunamei Hu. Ata Achilota Lecha Arot Et Avdecha Mai Sheruta Haka Ela Vadai Moshe Sheruta Hava Bealma Lamecheve Shalim Bekola Ve'itema Yaakov Shalim hava ve'ilana Ishtalim letata Kegavna dilela Haki huvadai Havalma dehava le'moshe La'hava le'barnash Achara deha itatar bishlimu Yatir Bikama Alaf Varibvan Mi Israel Pioraita Bamashkina Bekochanin Belevae Vitresar Shavatim Rabrodin Mimanan Alaihu Beshavin Sanhedrin Hu yishtalim begufam ashalim acharon lemina nachshon lishmala hu benai hu. You have begun to show your servant. He asks, what manner of a beginning is here in saying you have begun? And he answers, surely Moses was a beginning in the world in being absolutely perfect. You may say that Jacob was perfect prior to Moses, for the tree, Zeranpin, was perfected through him below as it was above, because he had 12 sons that corresponded to the 12 borders of Zeranpin, and 70 souls that correspond to the 70 branches in the supernal tree, Zeranpin. It is surely so, but Moses attained what no one else did by being more completely bedecked with many thousands and tens of thousands of people of Israel, with the Torah, with the tabernacle, with the priests and Levites, with the 12 tribes, with the 12 princes appointed over them, with the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. He was completed in a whole body, the secret of Tiferet, that includes right and left. For Aaron was to his right and Nachshon to his left, and he was between them. So basically the Zohar is saying that Moshe was perfect, was more perfect, because there was a nation with him. And he represented the unity of the nation. And therefore, he was considered a beginning. And so he could make the statement, you have begun, to show his servant, which is Moshe. So it's like the Creator was teaching things new that he hadn't taught before, even though he had made them aware, or anyone who was alive in the previous generations was capable of seeing these spiritual laws. Moses was the first one who had them explained to him. Verse 14. Begin kach et gad lecha mimina da acharon ve'et yadcha chachazaka mishmala da nachshon v'ha'itmar v'gimul kach Moshe sheruta v'yalma hava v'itema man hava siyuma malka meshicha hudeha keden Yishtakach shelimu b'yalma madela hava kach ken l'dare darim b'chahu zimna yishtakach shelimu le'ela letata b'yechon almin kulchu b'zivuga chad kedein ketiv b'yom hahu. For that reason it is written, you have begun to show your servant your greatness, namely from the right, Aaron, and your mighty hand, namely from the left, which is Nachshon. We already learned that. It was Moses, therefore, who was a beginning in the world, and not Jacob. You may ask, who was the ending? And he answers, King Messiah is the ending, because then there will be perfection in the world, which was not the case for the generations. At that time, perfection will abide above and below, and all the worlds will be united as one. Then it is written, on that day Hashem shall be one, and his name one. The famous verse from Zechariah. Any person born between Moshe and the Messiah, the Mashiach, is in a process of completion. That process of completion, as Rabbi Ashlag has explained and used the metaphor of a fruit from the time it buds until it's ready to be picked. Until that time, it's green. If you try to eat it early, it's bitter. If you try and pick it, it's not yet fully grown. You know there's a difference. We see our world as normal. We see our world as last generation, this generation, next generation. And we don't really see the progress that's made from one lifetime to another. We just see the generations. And so the real understanding is until there is perfection, everything is bitter, everything is green. Everything is incomplete. Everything has not ended. And as such, we cannot truly understand or evaluate what is happening in this process because we don't see the end while we're in this world. If you know the end is in the beginning, that's an intellectual process. The end is in the beginning, but it's not revealed in the beginning. Perhaps that's what will be said next. We'll see. Verse 15. Vayomer Hashem Elai Rav Lecha El Tosaf Vigomer Amar Rabbi Chiya Amar Lekutcha Barichu LeMoshe Moshe Rav Lach Diazdav Gat Bishkinta Mikan Ulchala Tosef Dehazimna Desichara Mata Besichara La Yakil Yanchara Adit Kenish Shimsha Aval Bezav Et Yehoshua Behaski Ekehu Beamsehu Anstehu Shimsha Baeli Anchara Lesichara Beha Itmar. And Hashem said to me, let it suffice you, speak no more. Rabbi Chiya said, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moses, Moses, let it suffice you to have joined the Shekhinah. From now on, speak no more. Rabbi Yitzhak said, let it suffice you, the light of the sun that was with you, no more, because the time for the moon has come, which is Joshua, and the moon cannot shine until the sun is gathered. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. You who are the sun should illuminate the moon. We have already learned this. I think the verse is straightforward. I don't think it needs any commentary. Verse 16. V'atem chadvekim by Hashem Elokechem V'gomer Rabbi Yosei Amar Ashrei Ha'am shikaka Lo v'gomer zaka'a Amad kutsha berichu bachar V'hu mikol amin Akom V'salik lon liadvei Uvarich lon bevirkata, delay bevirkata, dishmei, hadahu diktiv, kichan zera bairach Hashem, bairach Hashem mamash. But you that did cleave to Hashem, your Elohim, Rabbi Yossi said, happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is the people whom the Holy One, blessed be He, has chosen above all heathen peoples, and raised to His lot, and blessed them with His blessing, with His name's blessing. This is the meaning of they are the seed which Hashem has blessed. Hashem has actually blessed, namely the blessing of His name. This verse seems like in a different direction. I'm not real clear on how it's following from the previous one, other than the process of cleaving to Hashem. The process of cleaving to Hashem implies that you're going to receive strength and support from the previous generations, from the Tzaddikim, from Moshe, from Joshua, from all of the previous generations, primarily the previous generation closest to you, because you have more affinity with that generation than with the earlier ones. Verse 17. Tachat ze kol she'ar amin Yalma yachav lon kudsha berichu Lerav revei mimanan deshaltin Alayhu v'Yisrael achid Lon kudsha berichu Liadbei lecholake Liitachada bei mamash Yachiv lon oraita Kadisha begin de itachada, bishmei viad viatim, chad vekin bahashem vilamimana, achara bishar kishar amin, vehaukmuha bekama atar. Come and see, the Holy One, blessed be He, gave all the rest of the nations in the world to the appointed ministers that rule over them. As for Israel, the Holy One, blessed be He, held to them for His lot and portion to actually unite with them. And He gave them the Holy Torah in order to unite with His name. Hence you the dead cleave to Hashem and not to any other minister, as in the other nations. This has been explained in different places. Well, I guess the section, let me read what is the beginning summary. I usually don't read this because I don't want to be misdirected by or limited by what the summary is saying, because it tends to focus your thoughts in that direction. But I'm not real clear on what is being said here. So I'm going to read the synopsis. Rabbi Yossi says that Moshe was in a sense a beginning in the world, encompassing all the children of Israel, the Torah, the tabernacle, the priests, the Levites, the 12 tribes with their princes, and the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. He was absolutely perfect and attained what no one else ever did. As Moses was the beginning, King Messiah is the ending. Because when he comes, there will be perfection in the world. Rabbi Chiya talks about how Moses was told to prepare Joshua to succeed him, as the moon cannot shine until the sun departs. Rabbi Yossi tells us that although all the other nations of the world were given to appointed ministers, Israel was kept by God Himself as His own special portion, and He gave it the greatest gift of the Torah. Okay. While it's not clear, it just summarized what the verses are doing, which is what a synopsis is supposed to do. I'm beginning to get this sense. Moses was perfect, but how could he be perfect if the nation wasn't perfect? The nation's imperfection should affect Moses. But obviously we consider him perfect. And the Zohar is telling us he was perfect. But ultimately the Mashiach will be more perfect. And why? Because each level that is described here, the children of Israel, all of them will be perfect. The Torah is perfect, but this is the Torah that was given later than the first set of Luchot. So it is not, there's a higher level Torah that will be coming down to us, that will make it, the Torah, more perfect. And I know that sounds like blasphemy to say that the Torah will change, because everybody says it won't. But ultimately, the Torah has a perfection that is not yet in our Torah, because the receiver of the Torah is not yet perfect. The tabernacle. We know the third temple will be perfect, but the first and second temple were not. That's why they were destroyed. The receivers, the users of those tabernacles, were not perfect. The priests will be perfect. The Levites will be perfect. The 12 tribes will be perfect. With their princes, with their heads, will be perfect. And the 70 members of the Sanhedrin will be perfect. And I think this is really what these verses are saying in a very polite way, and not attacking Moses, because Moses is as perfect as he can be based on who we are. And as we change ourselves, Moses will change and ultimately come as the Mashiach. Section 5, the voice of the words, verse 18. Vaydaber Adonai alechem mitoch ha'esh kol devarim atem shomim v'gomer. Amar Rabbi Elazar chai kira id le'istakla. Be kol devarim, mai kol devarim. Ela kol diikre dibur, de kol diburea, dibura. Ve'italya ve'ad ketiv, ve'adaber Hashem alechem, deha dibur be'atar, da'italya lechai ikre, kol devarim. And Hashem spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words. Rabbi Elazar said, we have to examine this verse. It says the voice of the words. What does that mean? And he answers that it means voice is considered speech, since every speech comes from it. The voice is Erampin and speech is Malchut. But since the words come from voice, Malchut is called the voice of the words. Hence it is written, and Hashem spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. Since speech comes from that place, Malchut, it is called fire. And it, Malchut, is called the voice of the words. We have to remember that this section of Vayetchanan, this parasha, is reiterating, repeating the Esther Dibrot. So the descriptions of how the Esther Dibrot were received, how they were said, this issue of voice and speech and words, different levels of consciousness, it needs to be repeated to us as well. And that's really what's happening in this verse. It's explaining, but this is something we didn't read before. The idea that Malchut is called the voice of the words. There's a deep secret here that I'm getting a glimpse of. You have words. We perceive words as separate from the speaker. But in truth, the energy of the words comes from the letters, but also from the speaker. So one speaker can say the same sentence as another speaker, and it will be heard differently by each person who hears both of them. There's much to contemplate in what I just said, for me as much as for you. Verse 19. Atem shomim dishmiya latalya ela bechai begin dishmiya bedibur talya uvkish atem shomim veha ukmucha veratza adonav et azno ba marzea begin de fagim atra deikre shemiya vehu dibur vehu shemiya. You heard, since hearing depends on it, on Malchut. Since hearing comes from speech, hence it is written, you heard. This has already been explained, and his master shall bore his ear through with the awl, because he blemished that place called hearing, which means both words and hearing. In the Shemitah year, the slave, which is the Hebrew soul, goes out free. And that's from the portion of Mishpatim, or it's written also in Mishpatim, but I think it's in, the Shemitah is in Behar. But the idea of, if the soul doesn't want to go out, that its hearing is blemished, it's the person, the physical person, is taken to a door, which is like the gateway to the spiritual worlds, and his ear is bored through with an awl, essentially implying that there's damage to this level of consciousness of Binah, which is where hearing is related to. And this verse is talking about this understanding, what I just hinted at in the previous verse. This verse is talking about the speech, the words, the hearing all have to be in unity for the complete message and transfer of energy to be understood and received. And this error that the soul makes when it doesn't want to go out is made in many different ways and many different levels by most of us in this world. And this is what this verse is hinting at. Verse 20. Kol devarim atem shomim utmunaim emchem roim Shammai Udmuna Kedaa Udmunat Adonai Yavit Da'amar Udmuna Dako Penima'a Delahava Mitchazek Elal Zulati Kolda Kol Achara Deka'amran Utmuna Amayikre Haki Begin Dekol Tikuna Degufa Mine Nachka. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no form. He asks, what is a form? And he answers, it resembles, and the similitude of Hashem does he behold, which is Malchut. This was said to praise Moses, who used to look at the shining mirror, which is there on pin, and hence the similitude of Hashem does he behold, which is Malchut that reveals Yudkeh Vavkeh. According to another explanation, a form is an inner voice, namely Bina, which was not visible at all, not even to Moses. Only a voice refers to another external voice, as we said, namely Malchut called the voice of the words. And why is Bina called a form or similitude? He answers, because it manifests the body, which is Zeron Pin called body, that is the form of the six extremities, the 12 borders and the 70 branches, etc., which comes out from it, from Bina. Everything in our universes, spiritual and physical, have two aspects, a body and a soul. Voice is the soul, words are the body. That's it, that same duality, that same unity applies to everything in our world. And this verse is talking about what was heard by Moses, what was seen by Moses. He had no ability to see Bina, to see the inner essence of what was the Creator. The closest he could get to that was the level of dots, as is known. But understanding this relationship of Moses, now, when Mashiach comes, with everything being perfect, Mashiach will be able to reach Bina. He will be able to see this inner essence from the standpoint of himself being the form, because he represents Malchut. And Malchut will be equivalent to Bina at that moment when we have the concept of he and his name are one. The verse is giving us a different way of perceiving what is perfection. What is the goal for each of us? Verse 21. Ve'itema achara ikre haki name in dechai achara tikuna diltata mine nafka ukich Hashem ila'a Hashem tata'a Hashem ila'a kol gadol ve'la yasaf de'la paske mabu'ei le'almin Bekali nun kolot, taman ishtachahu, kadit yachik bat, o raitali Yisrael, bekola nafka, mehahu kol panima'a, dekola begin devetalia, milta. You may argue that another, namely Malchut, is also named thus, a form. Why is it called a form? He answers, it is so, for the other one is also called a form, because the lower manifestations in Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah emerge from it. For that reason, Bina and Malchut are called supernal He and lower He, because they are equal. The supernal He is the secret of a great voice which was not heard again. Since it founts, its founts never stop flowing, because it is with Abba, Chachma, in a never-ending union. All these voices were there when the Torah was given to Israel. The secret of the seven voices of Zeranpin, they all came out from the inner voice above all, which is Bina, since everything is suspended from it, as they emanated from Bina. This verse is continuing this discussion of the unity of Malchut and Bina, and yet in our world we have not reached that. We haven't reached that perfection. We haven't reached Malchut being equivalent to Bina. But Bina has a voice. Malchut has a voice. When Malchut has reached perfection, it will be at the level of Bina. It will be in unity with Bina. It will be in continuous zavud with Chokmah, and it will be in continuous zavud with Zeranpin, all seven voices. All of these different concepts are being explained or hinted at in this verse. Verse 22. Haydi kre mishne Torah Moshe mipi yatzmo Amaran v'haokimna Mila amai haki Ela hachma ila akelala Yoraita itkire Umina nafka kola behahu Kots benima'a levatar, mit yashva kola ve'itachad, ba'atar digre, et hachayim uveitalia, kelal ufrat, torah shebiktav, Be'alpe Behu ikre Shor Torah Umishne Torah Bekadmeta Begivoradila Pasak Pasik Behashtakola Kahadab Begimokaf Akabi Lane Yud Hadivorot Kola Rashim Bevavilotinaf Velo tigno, velo ta'ane, velo tachmod, velo titave, veha ukmuha. Moses spoke from himself the words of Deuteronomy, the second Torah. This has already been explained. He asks why it is so and answers, supernal Chokmah is called the embodiment of the Torah, from which everything comes out into the inner voice, which is Bina. Afterwards, everything is settled and becomes attached to the place called the Tree of Life, which is Zeranpin, called Moses. The general and the particular come from it, namely the written Torah, which is Zeranpin, called general, and the oral Torah, which is Malchut, called particular. They are also called the Torah and the Second Torah. Zeranpin is called Torah and Malchut is called the Second Torah. It was therefore said that Moses, who was Zeranpin, spoke the Second Torah, which is Malchut, from himself. Namely, it emanated from Moses. At first, the first set of the commandments came out from uninterrupted Gevurah, namely from Bina, which it is said, a great voice which was not heard again. Now, with the second set of Ten Commandments in the second Torah, they come out altogether, that is, from Zeranpin. And Malchut, according to the principle that Moses, Zeranpin, spoke them from himself. For that reason, all these Ten Commandments are spelled with Vav. In neither shall you commit adultery, neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear, neither shall you covet, neither shall you desire, as Vav indicates Zeranpin. And what isn't expressed, but which I expressed in my email, there is no Vav in these second set of Ten Commandments dealing with and do not murder. But all of the others are connected with a Vav to Zeranpin. And this verse in the Zohar is just amazing, teaching us that there really are two Ten Commandments, two sets, one coming from Bina and one coming from Zeranpin. And those 32 differences between them are aspects of the Tree of Life that we really should study at great depth. Each and every one of them is teaching many spiritual rules and laws. Where am I? Verse 23. Amar Rabbi Yosei ma velo tita ve kevan. Diktiv velo tachmod deha bechai sage al zakain inun mare kishot chamida chadarga ta'ava darga achara chamida de'i yakil azil lemesav dile begin hahi chamida Tenakat azil lemebad, ovada ta'ava lavaki deha afilu, dila yinkut orcha, demechach abatre, beha uknuha avraya. Rabbi Yose said, what is meant by neither shall you desire, neither shall you covet, should suffice. He said to him, blessed are the truly righteous. Coveting is one grade, desire another. Coveting means that if he can, he will grab her, for the coveting that took him over will cause him to act. Desire is not so. Even when he will not take to following her, it is still considered desire. This has already been explained. You have a desire, but the action, whatever you do in the physical world, you bring that thought of desire into action, that's called coveting. So coveting is not just coveting a woman. It's not just coveting sex. It's any desire you have for something you don't have that you act upon, that you bring in action. So in essence, if you have a desire for something, doesn't matter what, and you go about obtaining that in the physical world with actions, that's a process of coveting. Because you have to change yourself so that that thing comes to you by the mercy of God. It's the same idea with prayer, as we spoke about yesterday, on Monday. It's the same idea with prayer. Prayer is chutzpah. You're saying to God, I know better than you. Chas v'shalom. And so, if you are a person who merits receiving this thing, it will come to you. What do you have to do to receive it? Change yourself. Not do actions in the physical world to make that happen. A good example is King David, and there's this disagreement within the Talmud, and within the Zohar says he didn't sin with Bathsheba, that Uriah was already, and Bathsheba were already divorced at the moment, which was the custom of the time to give a bill of divorce upon going to war in case they passed, so that they did not leave their wives as agunot, women who had no ability to remarry because it wasn't known if their husbands were dead or alive. So he desired Bathsheba, and he did things in this world to make that happen. And there are people who say he sinned. Obviously he did tshuva. Obviously the sin was it had impact because his lying with her brought a child who died in stillbirth, I believe, or miscarriage, I'm not sure. But the whole process and the whole understanding of coveting is really being redefined by this verse in the Zohar. Or not redefined, but being more fully explained. Verse 24. Al Rabbi Yose Amai Lakiti Velo Tirza. Kechane acharine al begin de darga de dina vigvura talia vela ba'atar de rachame bikimolkach lo tirzach la ketiv bevav ugin de vayan hashem vav vavin itosaf vav velo Tita vedeha belo tirtzach la pae le mishre vav vitosaf haka. Rabbi Yossi said to him, why is not it written, neither shall you murder spelled with a vav like the others? He said to him, for the level of murder is judgment and comes from givurah, through the left column instead of from the place of mercy, which is there on pin, called Vav. Hence you shall not murder is without a Vav, since five Vavs are needed, corresponding to Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod. Vav was added to shall you covet, since in you shall not murder no Vav should dwell, because it is in Gevurah. Hence, Vav was added here. And other of the Mekubalim have explained that the missing Vav in murder comes from the fact that there will be no death in the perfected world when Mashiach comes or before. And even now, people do not have to die. We die by choice. We die by giving up the fight against the Satan, because it is only the Satan that manifests death in this world. Our actions cause us to lose life force when we make sins, when we do sins. We lose life force. We become sick. But we can always do tshuva and recreate that condition before we became sick. We never have to die. It's just that people don't think that that's true. People have no knowledge of that truth. They're not certain within it that truth. this verse hints at what I'm saying. It explains that murder or death comes from Gevura, comes from a level of consciousness that will not exist in the perfected model. Will judgment exist in the perfected model? Yes. There will be no chesed in the perfected model because there will be no need for chesed. Hashem will provide everybody's needs. That process we will know as chesed, but not the same kind of chesed that we know today. It will be a different world, not at the moment of the beginning of that process, but as we get closer to the 1,000 years, as we get closer to that process, the completion of that process, those souls who need to die, and in the Ari's writings, those are souls who come from the root soul of Cain, they will need to die, and so there will be death in the world. But it will be based on accidental death. And that's why there'll be 3 additional cities of refuge. It's a whole different world that people don't put these things together in their understanding. If they did, we would be arriving at this level much sooner. Verse 20.
Wow, this is really a deep subject, this one.
Yes, this is a subject that Rabbi Berg finds has been talking about it for 20 years, 18 years. And even in his talking about it, his sons couldn't make the jump, couldn't get there. Now, maybe they have today. I haven't heard them recently on this subject, so I don't know. But in the year 2000, where he said, which was the point in time where we could achieve that level, he was very clear, and up until in the year 1999, prior to the year 2000, where Rosh Hashanah was in September of 99, one of his sons gave a Shabbat morning talk in which he changed the words from certainty to possibility. And, you know, whether he was the cause, whether the society, the group couldn't make the transition, I don't know. But ultimately, the year 2000 came and went without the clear manifestation that death was on its way out. But people no longer have to die from that moment on. They choose to die. If they understood, they didn't have to. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's too difficult. They may choose to leave. There's no one passes judgment on that. But ultimately, people do not have to die. The choice is theirs. They can do tshuva for everything they have done in this life and return to the level prior to that moment when they would die. They don't have to. They have the tools. All of the tools have been explained. We just have to use them. And even I don't use them properly. I don't use them often enough. It was part of my contemplation today in the Tisha B'Av. Why don't we do tshuva for the destruction of the temple? The sages tell us we have to do tshuva as a nation. Why don't they tell us to do tshuva as an individual? for the destruction of the nation, of the temple. Yes, we know the temple was destroyed because of hatred for no reason. But what is hatred for no reason? I'm starting to hear rabbis speak about this, to explain it, to give us an understanding. Because what is hatred for no reason? In the Torah, there is no action that has no reason. The brothers hated Joseph because he told stories about them to their father, trying to get them into trouble. They had a human response. Their father gave him a coat while it was a coat of protection. Ultimately, on a physical level, it was a coat, and they could be jealous of it. Jealousy is not no reason. What is hatred for no reason? I've heard explanations that I don't understand. Hatred for no reason is not loving the other person. Not realizing, I think this is the key. Hatred for no reason is not really realizing the other person is part of you. But I haven't thought enough of this subject to really continue.
What's the manifestation of love for hatred for no reason?
What is the manifestation?
Yes.
Treating somebody different, with less than human dignity. Treating somebody as a burden to you instead of a benefit if they come and ask for money. Treating somebody in your work that you have that applies for a job and you just say, no, I don't have anything, please leave. You don't show human nature. You don't show appreciation for the guy's down on his luck and he's got problems. And it would be nice if you could spend 2-3 minutes with him, just giving him some sense of where he could find a job. Even if you don't know it, even if you can't give him a job. Anytime you are treated with less than human dignity, which means less than the person you're speaking to is your friend, how would your friend speak to you if you approached him for a job? How would the clerk in the store speak to you? Where is the salt? What shelf is the salt on, please? The clerk, 20 years ago, I know, I asked that question. The clerk said, I don't know, I'm new. Go ask somebody else. Today, the clerks in the store, the new ones are trained well enough to answer that question. What's the difference? The store owners, the store management, has realized that they have to serve people. That's part of the indications to me that the world is changing for the positive. Most people see the world changing for the negative. But that's an illusion. Look for the positive and you'll see it. Verse 25. Shema Rabbi Pinchas Diyativ Avatre Unshakei Bekav Yachich Ich Amar Gur Aryeh Leit Man Dekayim Kamayhu Man Yakil Lekayma Kamei Beavuha Be'alma, Zaka'a, Kula kehon betzadikaya bezakaa hulake bechai alma uvalma diate zakena lechai al dakitiv yiru tzadikim veyismachu. Rabbi Pinchas, who sat behind Rabbi Elazar, heard it. He kissed him, wept, and laughed. He said of Rabbi Elazar, "Who can stand before him and his father in the world? Happy is the lot of the righteous, and happy is my own lot in this world and in the world to come to have merited it. Of this it is written, the righteous see it and are glad." This verse is coming to teach us appreciation. Appreciation for the Zohar. Appreciation for the Ark. The protection that the Zohar represents. Appreciation for Rabbi Shimon and the other nine members of his group, of his minyan. And I think even that on some level the appreciation for the 600,000 who were not yet perfect, appreciation for where they were in the process. Yes, Moses couldn't go into the land because they weren't ready. But Moses knew that they weren't ready, and he understood that they weren't ready. But the adage is, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can explain it to people, but they cannot hear it. You don't have to die. How many people even start with the idea that it's a possibility? You don't have to die. I listened to it for 9 years, 8 years, from Rabbi Berg. Every week, every couple of weeks, you don't have to die. This is what's coming. This is the opportunity. I reached a level where I had certainty about it. Why? Because he said so? No. Because I looked at his sources. I made the effort to know what the teaching is. And I arrived at a level that wasn't, I believe, I know it. And I can say to people, I will live 300 years. When I was 5 years old, I made that statement to my mother. Children are prophets in our generation. I know this to be true. Now, I walk with a cane, and I'm overweight, and I have problems with sugar and diabetes and heart conditions, and I've had cancer of the colon, and I have all of these illnesses. I still maintain I will live for 300 years. I don't say I will live healthily for 300 years. Although I'm beginning to come to that understanding because I have become involved with a wonderful woman who's making me lose weight by cooking for me in a proper way. Something I've never known before. Where is the appreciation? I'm learning appreciation. We're all in a process. We're all not at the end of that process. Verse 26. Rabbi Elazar patach ve'amar k'rav ata v'shama v'gomer tachatzi b'sha'ata deit hivat. O Raita Ali Israel, Kulchon, Kolot Yishtakahu, Vekudsha barichu yativ al kurseya veda migoy dida itchazeu milula dida nafik migoy ila adiale veda kuraza diktiv panim panim diber Hashem imachem bachar mitoch haesh umilula nafka umalil bigoy esha v'shal chova didachei leilivar bidkviku derucha umaya diyachavin heilav diesha derucha umaya migoy shofar diihu Kalil kulhu nafik v'Yisrael itrachiku midchilu da. Rabbi Elazar opened with, go you near and hear. Come and see, when the Torah was given to Israel, all voices were present, namely from Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut. Bina is called an inner voice, Zeranpin an outer voice, and Malchut, the voice of the words. The Holy One, blessed be He, sat on the throne, which is Malchut, and one was visible from within the another. Zeranpin was seen from within Malchut. The words of the one, Malchut, came from within that which was above it, Zeranpin. This is the secret of the verse. Hashem talked with you face to face in the mountain out of the midst of the fire. As Zeranpin and Malchut were face to face, and speech came out and spoke from within the fire and the flame, which are the left column that pushed the speech out of Zeranpin, by striking of wind and water, which are the central and right columns that empower the left, so that speech, which is Malchut, comes out from all three columns of Zeranpin. For fire, wind, and water, the three columns of Zeranpin came out of the shofar, Bina, as it, Bina, includes them all. Israel kept away from this awe. That's the most amazing verse I have read. I don't even know where to start with a commentary on this verse. It's just overwhelming. When we have perfected our inner sense, our inner eye, our inner senses, will be able to perceive the world above us. We're seeing it develop now with people with psychic abilities. We're being connected to them. Most of them don't understand what they're doing with it, and most of them are making mistakes as part of their own tikkun, their own correction. People meditate, they go out and experience what they experience. This verse is talking about this. This verse is talking about, and Israel ran from this experience. The Midrash says that we heard the first two of the Esser Dibrot directly from God. And each time our souls became so energized, we left the body and it died. And the angels took us and resurrected us. And then we said, no more. Moshe, you get it. We can't handle it. And Moshe went to Hashem, and Hashem said, they're right. Free choice. Had they gone two more, maybe we would have been able to handle it. Hashem was prepared to have everyone resurrected at each one. The hints in this verse are overwhelming. The truth in this verse is overwhelming. Verse 27. Ila adilela elama atar denukva ba vilaya tir viatadaber elenu vigomer amar Moshe vadai chalashtun chela dilaili chalashtun chela achara de ilmale la idrachaku Yisrael v'yishmeun kol chachi mila kad bekad meta lahava yakir lama lemecheve chariv levatar v'inun havo kaimin ledare darin. Because of that awe, Israel said to Moses, "And speak to us, saying, 'We do not want this lofty force from above, namely from Zeranpin, but from the place of the female Malchut, and no further.' This is the meaning of 'and speak to us' with a feminine suffix. This is the meaning of 'and speak to us.' Moses said to them, 'You have surely weakened my power, and weakened another power of Malchut. For had not Israel distanced themselves, they would have heard all those words from Zeranpin as before. The world would not have been destroyed, and Israel would have lived for generations.' Because we do not do restriction, we just accept our emotions. We don't stop our reactions. Because of all of this, what do we lose? Over and over again. I teach restriction. I think I do restriction sometimes. One is never sure, but ultimately, if we do not learn this tool, all we're doing is lengthening the process until there is no more time, and then the Armageddon war will manifest. Now we're trying to bring it without this war. Bezrat Hashem, we will succeed, but only if people learn restriction. Only. Verse 28. Deha b'sha'ata chad meta mitu memtet begin decha ki itzterich deha ilana demota garim levatar dechayu v'kamu v'ka sagu va'a kutsha barichu le'a'ala lon le'ilana Dechaye v'kdekaem al hahu ilana demota begin lemecheve kaimin lealmin itrechak v'la ba'un kiden udlach chalash chela demoshe alayhu v'yitchalash chela achara amar kutsha barichu Anaba eina lekaima lekubi atar ilaa ulit dabeka bachayim atun baaitun atar denukba sharia uvkich lech emor lachem vegomer kol chad yachach lenukve vayid yached ba. The first time after hearing the first words, they died. The reason is that it had to be so, since the tree of death, Malchut, brought it upon them. Later they were resurrected, rose and grew by receiving Mochin of greatness. The Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to bring them into the tree of life, Zeranpin, that is situated above that tree of death, so they will live forever. But they distanced themselves and refused, as mentioned. Then the power of Moses, who was above them, weakened, and another power of Malchut weakened. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, I desire to uphold you in a supernal place, that you shall cleave to life. Yet you wish the place where the Nukva dwells. For that reason, go, say to them, return again to your tents. Each one will go to his wife and mate with her, because they descended to the world of the female. Return to your tent is a euphemism to go have sexual relations with your wife. Code words throughout the Torah that we don't understand, we don't realize. It takes the Kubbalim, the Zohar, to give us some understanding of this. We wouldn't even think of it. We know the sages talk about a house as our wife, but they don't talk about a tent as our wife. Why would we think that the tent in the Torah meant our wife? So much beauty in the Torah. So much, Bli Ayin Hara. Verse 29. V'im kol da kevan di Yisrael la avdu ela bidchilu. Ila adechavar alayhu, la itmar alayhu, ela mi yeten vehaya levavam, ze lachem vegomer, mikan olifna kol man de aved, mi laveliba urlute, la shava shave lisitra, isha aagil. Dihu bish choil vila aved biruta onshala sharia ale vila keber nash achara vekucha berichu la dein leilevish. Nevertheless, since Israel did it only because of the highest awe that rested upon them, it did not say of them, but, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me. From this we learn that whoever does something, but does not concentrate in his mind and wish on the evil side, even though it is evil, since he did not do it on purpose, there is no punishment for him. And he is not like another who does it purposely. And the Holy One, blessed be He, does not sentence him for evil. That's an amazing revelation. I've read similar things before in the Zohar. If you have good intentions and the outcome is evil, that chaos doesn't return to you. But what isn't being explained there is most of our actions are robotic actions. The movie is being played out. It's coming from our higher self, who's getting its messages from someplace higher. So our higher self has us do certain things as reactive behavior. It's negative. It comes from a selfish place in order to wake us up and to do positive. Wake us up and not to accept doing things without consciousness. This verse is implying that. It's hinting at it. It's telling us, yeah, you may not be punished because you didn't consciously want to do it as evil. But ultimately, you have to make the connection to every action you do as a conscious level and not an unconscious level. You start a sentence to a friend. Hello, how are you? Which of those words you consciously injected into the conversation? Maybe hello, maybe not even that. How are you is just a follow-on to hello. There's no consciousness in it. Unless you truly love them and you truly want to know how they are. And then you will say it, hello, how are you? With the consciousness of love. The consciousness from your heart. The consciousness that unifies your head and your heart. This is what we need to learn to do and not accept the pattern of habit, the pattern of behavior without consciousness. My friend, I hope you have a beautiful day. I thank you for allowing me to share this with you because I feel really blessed that I was able to do so.
I was, I have been and continue to be blessed by your open heart. I can't express it in words because there's no words to describe it the way you touch me with some of your expressions this evening. So I'll leave it at that.
I hope you have a beautiful day, truly. And we'll hopefully meet again tomorrow.
What time tomorrow? 5, right?
5, yes. Yes. Although there is a class tomorrow about the Hebrew calendar. Starts at 11:30 your time. If you want to join that, that's only on the telephone conference.
11:30 tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. May you rest well.
And you also. Speak to you soon.
Shalom.